Now, I come to the 47th chapter of Isaiah, and this is a very remarkable chapter because now, for the third time, we have here a judgment upon Babylon, and the subject of this chapter is the decline and fall of Babylon. First, in chapters 13 and 14, there was the burden of Babylon. Then in chapter 21, and now here in chapter 47. Now, it's true that we had a suggestion of it back in the last chapter, chapter 46, and I called attention to that, for that chapter opened with God's judgment upon the idols. In verse 1 of chapter 46, he said, "Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. The idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle." And Baal, of course, is the shortened form of Baal. And it's in the word Beelzebub, and Beelzebub is Satan. And that was the god of Babylon. And Babylon is the fountainhead and the mother of all idolatry. I would recommend again to you Hyslop's book, The Two Babylons, of how all idolatry began in Babylon. And sometime when we have a chance, I'm going to briefly review that, because through the prophets, there's a great deal said about drunkenness and idolatry. They were the two things that'll carry any nation away. And then, of course, Nebo here means the speaker of the prophet, and that became the god Mercury among the Romans. And they thought, you remember, Paul was Mercury when he went into the Galatian country. Now, here in chapter 47, this judgment upon Babylon seems far related from us today. And because there was a judgment upon it in that day, and Babylon is to be rebuilt, obviously in another location, but it's still Babylon, and it's to be built on the Euphrates River. The old Babylon is 14 miles from it today, but it will be rebuilt and it'll be judged. And someone is apt to say, well, how in the world can that have any message for us today? Well, it does have a spiritual message for us today. The Babylon of the past lies under the rubble and the ruins of judgment. Its glory is diminished by the accumulated dust of the centuries, and there is this Babylonian tendency today in the political realm of the world. It's seen in the United Nations. Babylon, the place where there comes together all of the political power of the world, will finally be there under the man of sin, the willful king, Antichrist. And then there is the great commercial combine that's coming to pass. We see it today in the nations of Europe. And then this great religious combine that's working itself out in the World Council of Churches. Now, here we see it actually in miniature, in a way, and yet on a tremendous scale in ancient Babylon. And so we have here in the first five verses the decline of Babylon. Now, the verse here is verse 1, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there's no throne, O daughter of the Chaldees, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate." Now, the word here for come down is the same word that is used for a dog when you call him for obedience. You say, "Down, Rover, down, down, Fido," and the dog then sits down. And that's interesting. That's the way God says this great world power, he'll just treat it like that when the time comes for it to be brought low. He says, "Down, down, Fido, down, Babylon." And that's the way, actually, the Lord Jesus dealt with the storm on the little Sea of Galilee. And believe me, they still have storms on that little Sea of Galilee. A friend of mine suggested that on a pretty bad day that we take a trip out on that little sea. I told him I'm not about to go out there because there's too many lessons of the past. Wait for a nice, clear day when it's smooth sailing to get on that little sea. But you remember what the Lord Jesus said when he spoke to those waves? The literal of it is, be muzzled. In other words, like you put a muzzle on a dog. That is the way he spoke to it. Now you have that same thing here. Now Babylon is called a virgin. And why? At this stage, she had never been captured by an enemy. Babylon was just now coming to power. Babylon that went back to even Nimrod, to Babel, where the Tower of Babel was. And all of those ziggurats that are in that valley apparently were patterned after the Tower of Babel. And then he speaks of the tremendous humiliation of this place, of Babylon. Verse 2, take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. This is the indescribable humiliation to which Babylon was finally subjected. And she had treated and mistreated Israel and Jerusalem when she destroyed that city. Now the day will come when she will be humiliated and brought low. And it's a question of nudity here. Now, nudity is becoming a rather popular sort of thing today. Men play with that subject of nudity like a child playing with a new toy, as if it was something that they shouldn't be doing, but since it's so new, they are playing with it today. And as a result, all of this interest in that sort of thing actually degrades humanity. Because if you take sex away from the nude body of either a man or a woman, it wouldn't be pretty. You can be sure of that. And it was no accident that God said you're to wear clothes. And any person today that wants to go without clothes, he has a hang-up and a real hang-up, you may be sure. These that like to do that sort of thing are real candidates for a psychiatrist. So that this would be awful humiliation for them. And in verse 3, he continues that thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. And God says, I'll take vengeance. Now when you come down to verse 6, here you see the deliverance of Israel into the hands of Babylon. And God's making it clear to them that the reason that Babylon was able to take his people was because God permitted it, not because Babylon was so superior or such a great power. They gave themselves credit, and they were wrong because of it. Listen to verse 6. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. Now God delivered his people into the hand of Babylon because they had sinned against him. And he's judging his own people. And this we'll see later in the prophecy of Habakkuk is the great message of that prophecy. Now, God's judgment of his people deceived Babylon. They thought they were smart and clever and strong. And God says in verse 7, thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. And Babylon was arrogant. Babylon was lifted up, and Babylon was careless. And as that man, Nebuchadnezzar the king, and he had a hang-up, mental problem, and he looked over that city one evening, beautiful city, glorious city, and he says, this is great Babylon that I have built. And he gave God no credit. God sent him out to eat grass like the oxen of the field. Man had a form of amnesia. I think the psychiatrist would call it hysteria today. And this man did not know for a long time who he was and lived like an animal, because he'd been living that way a long time. God's judgment upon him. Now, the third division I've made here, the details for the destruction of Babylon. Verse 10, "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me." That's always a grave danger of a nation and for any man, to be lifted up by pride and to feel like that he's able to make it on his own. And you and I are living in a country today that men become rich, not because they are doing some great service for mankind or making a contribution, but they are in some area where actually it brings men down instead of building them up. Today, think of the millions that's being made through entertainment. Entertainment in physical and athletic events. Oh, I know that steps on a lot of toes. And also money that's made through entertaining folk, through shows, nightclubs, that type of thing doesn't build people up. It tears them down. And think of the multitudes that are being wrecked by liquor, alcohol. Well, I have a clipping I took out of a San Diego paper, the first of 1972. I keep this clipping. $10 million a year business in the San Diego area. But there are 117 problem drinkers at one bank in that city. And they've lost money, by the way. And they found out that a vice president made loans he should not have made. A man that had been a very clever and brilliant banker. And there are other businesses that they list here. And the number of problem drinkers. So the next time that you see a number of liquor places that pay big license, remember, they don't even pay for what they are doing to humanity. What a picture that you have here, trusting in wickedness. And we are in many questionable businesses as a nation, and our methods are not always honorable methods. And how we cover this thing up, God sees it. And God will judge, just as he did Babylon. Now you have the dilemma of Babylon here at verse 12 through the rest of this chapter here. They say, "Stand now," verse 12 I'm reading, "stand now with thine enchantments, with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth." God satirically urges Babylon to go back to their witchcraft. They trusted it, and it got them in trouble now. And he says, all right, you've trusted this thing. It's got you in trouble. Why don't you trust it? Why don't you rest in it? And therefore they become confused. Verse 13, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels." This party suggests this. The other party is something else. And what happens? Well, the city now is living up to its name. Babylon means confusion. And confusion besets them. The great city that depended on its great economic strength, its total gross product was great in that day. But something had happened to the nation. It is dying within. You and I living in a country, the total gross product is in the billions. But something's wrong. And we won't face up to it. It's moral today. It's the fact that this country has departed from the living and true God. What a picture you have here. You say that this ancient nation that seems so unrelated to us hasn't a message for us? Why, the stones of the debris of Babylon is crying out to us.